This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Happy Tuesday! Are you ready for Marketing for the Now, Gary?
I'm always ready for everything.
You are always ready for everything. We've got a pretty cool lineup of creators and brands today. And our question is, what's the latest for creators and communities? So please join the conversation, hashtag marketing for the now. We're going to kick things off with Stacy Taffet. She's the VP of marketing for Frito-Lay. Stacy has been at PepsiCo for 13 years and is an absolute rock star in her role. She's running the largest brands in the snack portfolio, some of my favorites, including Lay's and Doritos, Cheetos, Ruffles, and Fritos. Are there any other snacks? Is my question, Stacy. And one other very important thing, Gary, that you should know is that she happens to be a Jets fan.
I love her for that.
Welcome, Stacy.
It's so painful.
Stace, you telling me? How are things?
Yeah, things are good. How are you, Gary? It's good to be here.
It's great to see you. Thank you for being on. Yeah, so look, obviously the brands that you're sitting on top of are so iconic, have so much popular culture references, brands that show up in Super Bowls and, you know, are in every aisle of every C-store or supermarket. So I guess, you know, knowing that the products also do an incredible job skewing young versus other brands, not that I don't see tons of people in their 80s eating chips, but, you know, I think this is a great way to kick it off. What is your point of view on where the opportunity is for creators and what's the impact of communities on brands like the ones that you work on?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we started even just talking about being a sports fan. I think, you know, fandom and creating fandom around brands is really what we're setting out to do now. And a big part of fandom is creating communities, both in the digital world and in, you know, in the real world as well. And stoking that fandom and nurturing that fandom. And so, you know, when I thought about the question about creators and building communities, there are sort of three principles that came to mind. And I can share a little bit about Doritos and Cheetos because those tend to be the brands that skew younger. And we have some good examples for. But the first one for me around this idea of creating community is, you know, the way we do marketing has evolved, right, from the legacy way where it was about distributing the consumer experience, like we'll tell you how you should engage with your brands, right, to now a world where we're participating, we're encouraging people to participate in that experience and the experience of our brand, and we can build communities around those experiences. So, you know, a couple examples that we've recently done that I think illustrate this. One, you know, one of the business problems we were trying to solve was, you know, reminding everybody on the Doritos brand about how awesome and timeless nacho cheese is, right? So when you taste nacho cheese Doritos, I don't know if you have in a while, you're going to be reminded that it's the world's most perfect food. And so in the old world, we would have just, you know, told you that, remind you how great it is that nacho cheese Doritos exist. But what we did just this past summer was we decided to create a job called the Nacho Cheese Flavor Confirmer, which is inviting someone to taste nacho cheese. It's a real job. We're paying them to taste nacho cheese Doritos every day and tell us that it's still awesome. And the way that we hired for that is we invited people on TikTok to do an interview. It was a duet. And tell us why they deserve the job so much. So we really built this community around the love of this brand and this product. And it was a huge success. And our flavor confirmer is being paid every day that he tastes a nacho cheese Dorito.
Was it a challenging decision on who got the head nod? Was it a battle?
There's a real love and some real creativity, and the creators came out in full force and in showing us how much they love the brand. So
what about Stacy the human being? Yeah. Like what creators, influencers or communities, Reddit, 4chan, Discords, or even like a text group of like 13 friends or moms or professionals or LinkedIn groups or Facebook groups, like what about you, the human, outside of like the, you know, the hat you put on when you're running these big global brands? What strikes you? What gets you? What catches your attention?
just in general?
Yeah, like if I asked you, what's fun about this, you know, they're 10 minute hangouts.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to bring as much value. You know, I'm reading the comments from Frosty Real and Grandmaster UV and William McConnell, and I'm listening, but I'm also thinking what will bring the most value. And sometimes when you take a very successful operator in marketing and you spin it from like, hey, this is how you're thinking about, as you should be, Doritos or Frito, but like, hey, take a quick step back and be retrospective. Like, what have you noticed has worked on you? What brand did you buy because of a creator or influencer? Or what's your go-to community? Like, is there a Facebook group around a passion? I think sometimes it's a good insight.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot. I mean, I'm a big sports fan. I love music, you know, so I do, I pay attention to a lot of creators across Facebook and TikTok and Instagram around, you know, those types of lifestyle communities. And what really gets me excited though, is when there's a crossover between a conversation on a digital platform and what's happening in the real world. So, you know, in addition to what I just talked about, I also really like, I'm very into the foodie space and the culinary space and recipes, both as a fan and a, you know, at home aspiring cook, but also in my job. And, you know, what I love is when, you know, people can get together around, you know, ideas for how to make their cooking more interesting or ideas for how to explore new recipes and talk about it online in any of the communities, but then also go and actually experience it. And, you know, I've even had an experience where, you know, I've been, you know, part of a community online and then we go and go out to dinner together and you bridge that world between, you know, what's happening on a screen, and then you get out of it. And I love that. And I think the real world really matters, and it matters to young consumers.
What's the like raw kind of like tactical, your point of view, and this might even be like challenging for you to answer, but I'm curious to see where you go. Yeah. What is like the best way for a creator that's in love with Doritos or what do I have here? Blue Bottle Coffee or Nike? Like, what's the best way for a creator who's watching right now, because we have a lot of them, to get a brand deal or work with a big Fortune 500 brand, not maybe an emerging brand? Any tips or anything you've seen that's worked?
Yeah, I know Emily's going to be on, right? And we definitely engage with her and our Doritos logo. And there have been other examples too, where we've seen some creators out there and we've, you know, done some partnerships. I would say something that really breaks through, that's fresh, that hasn't been done before. And then, you know, that integrates the brand, I think, in a really authentic way. You know, I don't know if anybody saw this during the earlier in the summer. There's a pretty awesome athlete. Her name's Christina Clemens. And she qualified for the Olympics wearing Doritos earrings. And you know, it was totally sort of came up out of nowhere, but we quickly, you know, we actually did a sponsorship deal with her. We created a bag with her face on it. We sent her gold earrings that she could wear, because it was just such a beautiful, natural sort of integration with the brand.
So it's about cleverly hacking, right? It's not about finding you on LinkedIn and spamming you and saying, give me a deal. It's more, actually, Vayner Nation, can we just find Stace on LinkedIn? I just want her to be overwhelmed and text me later tomorrow and be like, why'd you do this to me? But to your point, like, you know, it's how do you hack the attention to then lead for you guys to almost have to or be excited to lean in?
We want to, right? We want to be out there creating with creators.
So for creators who are frustrated that there's agencies, whether Vayner, whether Gallery Media Group, whether DBA, whether all these places out there are the gatekeepers, one of the ways to do it is, if you love a brand, one of the biggest mistakes I think creators make, and I think this is where you're going, is if you love a brand and want to do something with them, well, then just start doing things with the brand for free, because it's going to catch their attention. Whereas a lot of creators and influencers see that as like doing something for free and not getting compensated. But if you actually admire or love a brand,
I was going to say, do it with the brands you love. Like, have it be real, have it be authentic. If a brand means something to you, play with it and the brand's going to notice. We're out there looking and again, wanting to nurturing that fandom, and you can be a big part of it.
Stacey, thank you for being on. Continued success.
Thanks, Gary.
Next, we welcome Arlen Hamilton. Arlen is the founder and managing partner of Backstage Capital, a venture capital firm dedicated to minimizing funding disparities in tech by investing in high potential founders who are people of color, women, and or LGBT, having raised $20 million and invested in nearly 200 startup companies. Welcome, Arlen.
Thank you. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Arlen, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
It's great to see you. Do you still pinch yourself when you think about, you know, how much impact that, when I hear those numbers, you know, forget about like, you know, I'm a fan of yours and I've known you a long time. Forget about all the awesome stuff. Like, I still get pumped every time I see an influencer reading your book on Instagram and all that cool stuff. And we're humans, we like that. But what about like when you hear something like over 200 businesses being funded because of what you created? Does it still kind of like feel nice?
It does, and it's probably the only metric that still I can still
get you going.
Yeah, because I know how much work goes into it and has gone into it and how many people are involved, but like you can't quantify someone writing to you and saying, hey, you did this 2 years ago and XYZ happened.
It's everything. Yeah. All right, we don't have a lot of time and you put out so much great content. Everybody who's watching, you see her handle right on the screen. I couldn't recommend more. You know how much I believe in tenacity and just a lot of things. Arlen captures a lot of things I believe in. It's why I've been a supporter front facing and behind the scenes. But I want to get your thoughts on this because, you know, obviously you do this incredible work that I think is altruistic, but then I also think you have a lot of great strategy around something this narrow. So I'm just curious where you are in the scheme of things on what you see for creators and communities. You know, we've seen, you know, the Discords, the Reddits, you know, there's the Robinhood stuff. We've seen communities really gain a lot of momentum. And then obviously creators is like the new slang term for influencers. And we've seen that as well. Just curious, you see so many startups, you're so in the ecosystem. What are your observations for the state of the union of those two things in our society?
Yeah, I think maybe I'll be a little different than a lot of your guests, but not in a bad way. I'm kind of old school, I guess, because I don't know if it's my age or if it's just like my predilection for like being a creature of habit, but I don't jump on new things. You know, my brother had to drag me into TikTok to kind of understand it, but I have Twitter and Instagram and I just go really deep in those places. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know how to use them. I know what things will resonate on each platform.
You've got the context down.
I'm sorry?
You've got the context of those distributions down.
Yeah, definitely. And then the context of me, right? So I've been, in addition to Backstage, which has been the last decade of my life, another decade prior to that, I had a blog called Your Daily Lesbian Moment, which had 50,000 people from all over the world who came to this blog every day to read a little blog post that I would put up. And so I studied it. I was definitely broke at the time. You know, I didn't have any resources, but I would study their behavior and
AKA what you would read the comments. A lot of people forget blog world, you know, when we would post back then, the comments would live on our site.
Yeah. I'd read the comments and then the comments came alive because sometimes people would meet their friends there. They would meet dates there. Some people got married after a while. Like it was a whole thing. And you know, it would take longer than it does today, but eventually 3 or 4 years later, somebody would walk up to me and say something that I read. You know,
so what did you learn about communities during that time? Because it sounds like very similar to me, by the way.
Yeah,
Wine Library TV. I lived in the comments on winelibrarytv.com. You would embed your YouTube video on your WordPress and then have the comments that I would live in there and read. And I think a lot of my skills were formed in there. It sounds like we have some similarities there. What did you learn?
I learned that it's where I, funny enough, picked up the authenticity, how much that spreads and how important that is and how like valuable it is. Right. I mean, even my shirt right now is my shirt. It says be yourself so that the people looking for you can find you. Mm-hmm. I said this maybe 3 years ago at South By and it kind of picked up. Mm. But it's where, I mean, this whole past, you know, 20 years, that's where I've picked that up, because no matter what I was going through, whether if I was in good times or bad times, and both have happened in public, right? No matter what I was going through, you had that instant kind of connection. And if you were honest about it, if I was honest about it, good and bad, and celebrated and kind of, you know, commiserated, yeah, all of that, somebody in the audience was feeling the same thing. Always. And they remember that kind of thing. And that carried on with me.
What about you on the consuming side? What kind of creators tend to catch your attention? Is it in a style of content? Is it, besides subject matter, which would be obviously incredibly obvious, is there anything, you know, that stands out for you in the influencer creator community these days?
I like really clever people who have, you may notice, oh, okay, their camera isn't that expensive, or they're using their phone or whatever, but they are just being so, they have such initiative, and they're just being so clever in how they use the tools at hand. That and that can mean they have a lot of equipment, they have a lot of things, but whatever it is, it punches above the weight of what they have. And so I love being able to notice that. And I love things that are, they teach me something. Of course, if they make me laugh, they're, you know, you have my heart. But if something, you know, like in a really fast way, and I can just like, whoa, I didn't think of it like that before.
Do you go from seeing a tweet or in your Instagram feed, because it sounds like those are two places you're more native to, is it common for you to see something, you liked it intuitively, to your point, whether it is laugh, I love that, I agree. Yeah. Or, ooh, that's a clever take on something I've been thinking one way, that got clever. Will you find yourself going down a rabbit hole and then like, oh, Johnny or Susan got my attention for a second, and then 15 minutes later, you've like consumed 7, 12, 15, and now you decide, oh, was that a one-off and I only like that one piece of content, or am I about this person?
No, I go into the vortex hard. you know, you talk about going deep into comments. And not only that, that's how I get a lot of the inspiration, or I connect with people. So, you know, I may, Chacho on my team, on backstage team, he became my chief of staff and on the partner track now, because I consumed his content on Twitter, you know, when he didn't know I was looking at it. When he didn't know that a tweet that he did 2 years prior to the one that he sent to me was going to resonate and say, oh, this tells me one more piece of the puzzle. Another thing I like to do is on Twitter and sometimes on Instagram is I like to look at what people liked. That tells me a lot about them, right?
I agree.
Yeah, and especially if it's someone I'm like, okay, do I want them to work with me? Do I want them to, you know, do I want to invest in them? Now I have a new company. Do I want to hire them for the new company? That sort of thing.
I love that. What about the frameworks around community? How much or how little, or what's a deep or maybe even a hot take on things like Discord, Reddit, like the containers of community? Any thoughts? Because again, you're looking at so many startups as well. Are we seeing an evolution of community?
Yes, we are. I mean, so many people have opinion.
By the way, you can stop right there. We can end the whole show. Yeah.
Thank you for having me. Have opinion of the Facebooks, you know, the kind of the juggernaut.
Sure, the establishments. Yep.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the reason I don't go to a lot of places, not to say that Instagram and Twitter are safer, but it's difficult sometimes, you know, to read some of the comments and some of the things. It's a tough balance. So what I think could be, what I look for and what I think is interesting are two things. One is companies, startups that are there to help make those current experiences safer and more pleasant. They don't have to be without critique. They don't have to be without edge, but just simply you feel like you're not going to be called every racist name in the book when you walk down the street. And then the other one are the ones that are just more niche, that are just like better, that are interesting, that are maybe being built around, you know, some of the things that are coming your way. For instance, I own a couple of NFTs. I'll tell you, one of the NFTs I own is Gary V gifting me an NFT. So that's my foray into it. But then I'm able to look at companies that are building around, you know, the NFT community. So whereas I may not be like, oh, I got to get an NFT tomorrow, that's my thing. I'll leave that to Chacho because that's what he wants, or my brother. I look at it, oh, it's really it. Like your Discord for mm-hmm. me friends. Like I read your Discord, but mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know how to get an NFT. Yeah. I was over there, gas. What is gas? Somebody has gas. Mm.
Why are they farting in this?
Yeah, Discord? I was like, well, everybody's so excited about gas or upset about it. I was but I read what was happening
yes. around. Consuming
and that and you know and I saw the all the phases of it including you know I studied it. I was like this is so predictable because there's some people who are like oh man I don't like this you know this is a scam mm-hmm. and I'm like first of all like I don't know something happened where you had like a week or something delay yeah. and then yes. in that week the price that they bought went up so they got they made a fortune.
They
made money off of the first week so I said oh, okay there's something here. And it was the comments that helped me understand the context.
Yes.
Of what's happening.
Same for me. Arlen, you're a real gem. Please, everybody, get to know this woman no matter what you do. Thanks for being on. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Arlen. Next up, we welcome Blake Gray. He's a creator, a model, and an actor. Blake came into the creator scene in 2015 and has since become one of the forefront creators on TikTok with over 10 million followers. He's also partnered up with some pretty big brands, including Aloe, PacSun, MLB, Revolve, and Prada. Welcome, Blake.
Thank you. Thank you. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm well, Blake. How are you?
Doing good. A little nervous. My first ever live interview, so I appreciate you having me on, man.
You're going to crush, my man. So, Blake, why don't you here's a good one. You know, you're in such an interesting spot for a lot of people that are watching. You're super young. You're at the forefront winning on the platform that's kind of winning the day, 10 million plus on TikTok, right? Even looking at your, you know, creator, model, actor, that's super awesome. Like there's a lot of blessings in that, right? Uh-huh. You didn't do much to be born attractive, right? Like why don't you educate everybody? Cause you're in it, right? I know enough about you. We've interacted in the past. Why don't you give everybody a real view of like, what are people that are perceptionally winning on TikTok struggling with? What is awesome and what's a struggle from the perspective of not only you, though you're more than welcome to go there, but you get to interact with a lot of people like you, and you might be able to give people a little bit of a view under the hood of what's working and what's challenging.
I started about 5 years ago, and it kind of just happened by accident. I was just playing baseball, doing my thing at school, and being a creator, it definitely is fun. It has its ups and downs. You know, it's hard being a kid nowadays, especially having such a big following. I think that's what's the hardest thing about being a creator. I can't really go to an amusement park or go to a movie and enjoy it. I feel like that's one of the
And where are you? Where are you in that cycle of your life? Do you feel, because you're so, how old are you?
I'm only 20.
Right. So, and I love that you said you're only 20 years old. So for me, as somebody else who has 10 million followers on TikTok, you know, I'm a grown man. I'm 45 years old and I can't do those things either. But because I'm at 45 and like not 20, I believe it is easier for me to just only filter that as complete gratitude. Like I'm so flattered mm-hmm. every time. There is no other, even when they bother me with my kid, even the things that I'm most protective of, I still don't know how to see that attention as anything but I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
And of course being 20, there's a lot that comes along with that, you know, especially going from 15 to 20, going through this process. When you're dating someone, when you weren't, like all the things that come along with it, and then everything else, do you think you're taking it for granted? Do you think it's cool? Are you in that phase where you're like, do you think sometimes you lose perspective, or are you so grateful, but it's just you can't function? Like, where are you at with it right now? And I'm sure it's ebbed and flowed.
You know, I mean, since I've been doing it for so long, I still remember the first time somebody ever came up to me, and it was literally the most surreal feeling I've ever had in my life. I still just don't understand why people come up to me. It blows my mind. I'm so grateful and blessed. I don't take it for granted at all. You know, I wouldn't be here without all my followers and my fans.
But do you, but at the same token, if mm-hmm. you're on a date or you're hanging with your boys, is there a struggle there with it? Or is it more of a fear of like everything you're doing is being watched?
I think now it's more, well, back then it was more of a struggle because growing up in Houston, Texas, this is so new, especially 5 years ago. A lot of my friends and family didn't even know how to act. I think I was more worried about what my family and friends thought of it rather sure. than, yeah. So, I mean, I was always just so like, wow, this is so cool. But my friends and family, they were just like, what is going on? Why do they want to?
This weird, yeah.
Yeah. Especially 5 years ago, it's so new. But yeah, no, I definitely don't take it for granted. And now my family and friends definitely see what is going on and they're very happy for me. So
like, how should brands, there's a lot of marketers on here, a lot of CMOs, a lot of marketers. What do brands do wrong with big influencers? Like, how do they get it wrong?
It's not necessarily that they're doing anything wrong. I think this comes more on the creative aspect. Since I'm
but real quick, because I can tell you're such a sweet dude, this will actually help. You're welcome. You deserve it. This will help you. Like, mm-hmm. this will really help them if they hear it from you. So, like, I sit in the middle with my company, and I'm like, guys, you can't tell. Blake got 10 million followers because he fucking knows his audience. You get to choose if you're going to do something with Blake, but let him do what he wants to do.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was about to say. I love it when brands give me, you know, the creative and they're like, yeah, you know your audience best. Do whatever you think is going to do great for the brand. And I think that's what I see does best on my channel when I work with brands is when they give me the creative and they say,
where you just completely can do yeah. something that you know they'll like yeah. versus feeding you lines.
Exactly. I think also I don't necessarily, I'm not going to work with somebody that I don't believe in or take pride in. I'm not going to promote something that I don't know anything about or I'm not happy with.
Yep.
So I think that's another reason why it's good to work with brands that fit with, you know, my brand.
Talk to me about collaborations. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to this level or on the way from 0 to 10 million, how important was it to do other things with other creators so that you could get awareness in their community and they could get awareness from your community? How do you think about collaborations?
I think they're great. Obviously, being in quarantine for the past 2 years and COVID and everything, it hasn't really been the case. It's been very hard to collab with people, but TikTok having the duet and Stitch thing, it's easy to collab with people without even being with people. I'll go and duet somebody and it's pretty much me essentially collabing with them. I don't have to go meet up with them or anything. But yep. 5 years ago when I was first getting started, collabing was so important. I would have to
fly somewhere.
Yeah, fly somewhere, you know, even like.
And I'm not sure 16-year-old you going to your parents being like, yo, I got to fly to LA to do this dance with Ricky was going to be the easiest thing to sell, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. Even like this right now, we're collabing, you know, this is
100%.
This is great.
Like what's your biggest ambition right now? Obviously that will change at 25 and 30 and 35 and 40. But right now as a 20-year-old dude with this momentum and these blessings, do you want to, I see actor, like, do you want to be a superhero in a movie? Do you want to become a big actor? Is the modeling thing more fun? Like, is that like a, you know, a thing that just is epic? Is it more on the creator side? Like if I said next 3-4 years, what would be one epic thing you'd like to accomplish? What stands out?
Man, you know, being a superhero would be sick.
Which superhero would you, if I said good news, I'm a genie from the future, you're going to be one of the actors that gets to be a superhero in a superhero movie, which one would you want to be?
That's right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Iron Man, hands down. Yeah. Can't go wrong with Iron Man or Captain America. Those two are my favorite. Yeah.
You think you get your muscles up for Captain America?
I know I need to bulk up a little bit.
Blake, any final thought? Any emerging platform or app that people might not know about? Anything brewing in the kids' land that people should keep an eye out? Maybe get a first lead?
You never know. I mean, TikTok came out of nowhere, man. You know, as a creator, I'm always looking for the next big app that's going to blow up like TikTok.
Yep, but nothing right now of choice.
No, I haven't seen anything right now, no.
Blake, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
That was awesome. Thank you, Blake. And thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Andrea.
Have a great day.
You too.
Next up, we welcome Ryan Harwood. He's the CEO of Gallery Media Group. Thanks for joining, Ryan. And guess what? Today, we are going to be chatting with Christina, better known as Tinks, the breakthrough star behind the @itsmetinks accounts. Tinks is an LA-based Stanford grad, otherwise known as TikTok's big sister. In less than a year, she's gained over 1 million followers on her platforms and has partnered with great brands, including Chipotle, Skims, BMW, Mini Cooper, and The Real Real, and more. Welcome, Ryan and Tinks.
Hi.
Hey, Tinks. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So first off, you're on fire. So I just got to say that right now. And before we start, can we just talk for a second about Gwyneth?
That was honestly the coolest collab ever. I still can't believe it's real. She's been an idol of mine forever. And I mean, let's face it, she's the OG rich mom. So it's pretty cool that she collabed with me in that way. She's so funny, so smart, so warm. So it was really a dream come true, and a dream come true to see her hold Mini Mike. So it was a good day.
I love it. For the audience, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Tinks's Instagram account, check out her most recent post. It is awesome how that collab came together. So just wanted to get that out of the way because it's so recent.
Thank you.
You know, I love origin stories. Tell me in a nutshell how you became a creator. Was it purposeful or was it by accident?
A little bit of both, honestly. Before I was doing, before I was a creator, I was a writer and a consultant. And I always thought of myself as kind of a behind the scenes creative, you know, never wanted to be in front of the camera. And then quarantine hit and I was like, I have literally nothing to lose and I'm enjoying consuming TikTok content so much, I might as well give it a go myself. And as soon as I made my first video, I realized this is what I was supposed to do. So in a way, all of my work before this has prepared me for it, but how it happened was kind of a happy accident.
Makes sense. You know, we have a lot of brand marketers and chief marketing officers on the call, and you know, they're creating their own organic presence on these platforms. What are some tips that you can give brands that are also trying to nurture a community the way that you've nurtured your own community and built your own audience?
I think finding true fans, like I think finding that whoever is championing your brand naturally is so important, and really fostering relationships with those people, because every brand has super fans. And I think that they're kind of the backbone of the fandom, and they are really the ones who start the little movements and who make the organic content. So finding out who those people are and forming meaningful relationships with them is so important.
How do you think of when you're creating content for Instagram versus TikTok? Do you think differently or is it similar? How do you think about that?
You know, it is a slightly different audience. I think that they respond to slightly different things. I think my audience on Instagram for me personally is a little bit older, and on TikTok it skews a little bit younger. And the type of content, I think we're just trained to view the two. We've been trained to view them differently. Like on TikTok, it's all about the hook, right? So when I'm thinking about TikTok, I think in the first 3 seconds, am I grasping their attention? Whereas on Instagram, I know that those followers are a little bit more engaged, a little bit more patient. You know, they have they'll watch something the whole way through. So it is different. And I think that's just down to the nature of both of the apps and the way that people digest and consume the content on each.
Yep. And when, you know, you get an incredible amount of engagement on your posts, which is just awesome. It means that you really truly have a cult-like following, so to say. But how do you determine how many of those comments you're actually going to respond to and engage with on each of the platforms? Like at what point do you have to be like, I can't, you know?
It's a lot to keep up with. I think where I'm most active is actually my DMs, because I give a lot of advice, and a lot of especially women write into me, and that's where I really try to spend at least 30 minutes or an hour a day just going through my DMs and responding to them, because you know it takes a lot to write me, and if you're reaching out and you need help or advice, like I take my responsibility and my platform very seriously. So that's where I spend the majority of my time. The TikTok comment section, it can be a little wild in there. It can get really crazy. So I tend to cut myself off. You know, usually I'll just scan the comments and just see the general consensus on my post. But, you know, I always say this to my followers, like, that's ego. That's ultimately, when you're reading the comments, like, that's your ego looking for a stroke, but ultimately you end up sometimes getting hit. So you've got to cut yourself off and just do a scan here and there, like take the pulse of your followers and move on, because it can get a little wild.
Get dicey. I feel you. Have you ever had an instance where your audience just fully pushed back on a piece of content that you did?
I mean, sure. I've had flops and I've taken missteps, but I think for me, I'm always so honest with my followers, and I'm coming to this creator role so late in life that I'm so new to it that I tell them, like, guys, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make missteps, but I want you to know that I'm super self-aware and I'm happy to course correct. And also it's good for me to fail in public, because then I can say I'm sorry, or I can, you know, explain what went wrong to them. And I feel like I'm kind of growing with them. And I think that the age of like the perfect creator or the perfect influencer is over. And what people respond to now is humility and personal growth and someone who's willing to change and to be influenced themselves. So yeah, I've definitely had flops. I've definitely screwed up before, and I'm sure I will again, but it's not a zero sum game. It's an evolving process.
It's net. Yeah. You know, I think one thing that brands could really take away from the way creators do things is you guys collaborate a lot with other humans, with other influencers. And I don't think brands collab with other brands enough. Right. Yeah. They obviously do paid partnerships with influencers, but I think they can collab together. So I'm curious, from your perspective, how does collaborating with other creators contribute to your creative process? How do you think about that?
I learn so much from other creators. Like, I lean on my creator friends more than anybody else now. And I think it's such an incredible way to push yourself and to go outside of your comfort zone and to learn how other creators do things, even logistically, just like collabing with someone and seeing how they film or seeing their process and how they edit. It's so incredible. And I think you're right. I think brands should collab more. I think that audiences really love when they feel like worlds are colliding, because they're on the other side of the screen, right? And they're watching us. And the response that I get when I collab with other people, it's just like, it's crazy. And like, you see it on TV sometimes when, you know, different shows will kind of have a world crossover. People love that. And that's the way that I think about the content too. Like, I'm a character to them. And so if I can bring another character from TikTok into my content or vice versa, it's thrilling and it's exciting. And it's a win-win all around. Win for me, win for the other creator, win for the audience, because it's interesting. So yeah, I think more brand collabs would be really fun. People would get a kick out of that.
Is there one creator out there that you would love to collab with?
Well, now that I've collabed with Gwyneth, I mean, that's me done for a little bit. There's so many people that I want to collab with, so many incredible creators that I'm so lucky to know and that are so cool. And I can't wait to meet more of them. They're the most interesting, exciting people. And I'm lucky to be a part of the community.
Awesome. You know, to that point on that question, Gallery Media Group, the company that I run, helped Tinder make the Diplo date happen. We're very happy and proud of that. So I'm asking you, as someone that's deep in the community and in dating advice, who's the next date we should try to make happen within the TikTok community?
Oh, well, you should probably set me up with Harry Styles next. Is that too much? I think that I am a good person to go on a date with. So at least, you know, it's fun and entertaining, and I can edit videos well. So I don't know.
I love it. Quick speed round of questions to get to know you. Salty or sweet?
Sweet.
Disney Plus or Netflix?
Netflix.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
80s or 90s music?
90s.
Almond milk or oat milk?
Coconut milk.
NBA or NFL?
NBA.
Last one, Friends or Seinfeld?
Seinfeld.
Tinks, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you having me.
So much fun. Bye, guys.
So awesome. Thanks, Tinks. All right. Next up, Ryan, you have a gaggle coming on. We're going to be chatting with Nate Wyatt, Azra Mian, Aisha Mian. Nate is a multi-hyphenate content creator, actor, and recording artist. Nate has amassed a following over 8 million loyal fans across numerous social media platforms. And at 20 years old, the Mian twins became overnight sensations on YouTube and TikTok less than a year ago, now boasting over 8 million followers. Originally from New York, the Pakistani-Albanian duo started their YouTube channel when they were 13, posting beauty tutorials, twin challenges, and vlogs. Welcome, everyone.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, guys. We're excited to have you. So triple threat, Nate, creator, actor, and recording artist. I love it. You're a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
Tell me, were you a creator before you became an actor or recording artist, or was it vice versa? How did that all evolve?
Yeah, so I've been singing since I was a kid. I got into acting right after high school when I was 19 years old. And I didn't have a following. So I'm from Ohio, and I moved out to LA right after high school. Not having a social platform, kind of coming out and was going to do the whole, you know, acting route, get a job, whatnot, and, you know, just pay my dues and, you know, get it like everyone else has, like in the, you know, acting community and whatnot. And then I got out here and I was on social media because it was a way, it was my form of like entertainment at the time, because like I control social media, you know, I can't control when I have an audition, when I book something, etc. So, you know, I was also just on social media when I got out here for fun, and it kind of took like a path of its own. Like I tell people, I think social media, you know, it's preparation, but it's also a little bit of luck. So it kind of just happens. And yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. So I was an actor and a musician before I was a creator, yeah.
Makes sense. Awesome. Aisha, I'm going to ask you a question here. So how do you think about when you're creating content, how do you authentically engage your audience in a way that is like truly you? How do you think about that?
I just think it's like really important to make sure you're staying true to yourself, especially when it comes to making content. It could be very easy to start wanting to like make content specifically just because you know that, let's say, it's performing well for someone else or this or that. And I think that it's very easy to notice when your fan base can see a change in the way that you're acting based on, you know, if you see a technique working for another creator and that like starts to change the way that you make your content. So I think it's just really important to like stay true to what you began with and, you know, just staying true, like your true intention on social media, because it's very easy to see that from like a fan perspective, like see a change in the creator or the way that they're creating their content or just the way that they interact with the fans. So just kind of staying true to yourself, and it's easy to get lost in it, but always bringing that back down.
Well said.
I love it. And Azra, how is the rise of TikTok impacted your career trajectory and goals as a content creator?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's changed our lives so much. Like just 2 years ago, we're living in New York, going to college for like marketing and business. And now we're living in LA and doing content as our full-time job. So I would say that definitely, like, you know, doing social media and doing what we do now, I feel like it's still not taken as seriously as it should be. Some people still look at it as just them making content and it's not a real job. But from our end, they don't, like, people, like fans don't see the work that goes behind it and the meetings that we're in, the brands we're talking to, and that one TikTok can sometimes take us 2 weeks to film because we're going back and forth with the brand. So I just wanted to be taken more seriously, and it's definitely changed. I feel like the outlook has changed a little bit, and I feel like people are starting to see that. But I mean, just doing TikTok in general has changed our lives so much. Like just 2 years ago, even a year ago, like we just moved out here. We were so fresh. So it's just crazy to see how social media can now be such a, you know, it's a big part of everyone's life, but can be such a big job, especially for us because we're only 20 years old, like, and our life has changed so much from it. So, I mean, TikTok and social media in general has just changed the game for sure.
Yeah. Hey, Nate, you know, we have a lot of senior marketers watching the show, chief marketing officers, brand managers, the people that are dying to collaborate with all three of you.
Yeah.
We're always trying to educate them and tell them how to approach you guys in the way that's going to allow them to unlock the greatest value for their brand, but also allow you to really be a creator. So I'm curious, from your perspective, how do you prefer brands to engage you? Meaning like process wise, do you prefer them to kind of lead the creative direction a little bit, or do you prefer to have explicit direction, like do this, like how should they approach you to get the most out of you and your audience?
Yeah, so I think with a brand, how to approach us is they can have some direction a little bit, but also let us like chime in on that and give our creative perspective and what we think will work. Because obviously like we know exactly what's gonna work with our audience. So I wouldn't say just give us all the creative freedom. I would say give us like little points that they want us to hit, but then give us also some creative freedom to like hit those in a way that'll help our, like in a way that'll work with our audience. Cause we know what, so. Yeah.
I mean, what I like to always say is let them tell the story the way they tell stories all the time, and let them make the brand the hero of the story, but stop trying to force the brand in the first 2 seconds and make it so obvious that it's an ad. Like tell the story and then let them figure out how to make the brand the hero in that story. Is that a good way to think about it?
100%. Yeah.
Awesome. And you know, for all three of you, do you guys have like a high performing brand partnership in mind that maybe you could tell us like why you thought it was successful, like why it actually worked?
I would go first. I would quickly say, I just think in general, we do post a lot of lifestyle / beauty content. So a lot of people that do watch us are looking at that. So when we work with, let's say makeup brands specifically, we notice that our audience tends to engage with it a lot because they already follow us because of our makeup content or lifestyle content. So working with the brand that we usually kind of revolve our content around tends to perform super well. Whereas like if we were to work with, let's say a video game app or anything that's really outside of our bubble, might not be perceived as well. So just anything that we kind of generally base our content around.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, I did a Giorgio Armani cologne collab. And when you think of that, you wouldn't think, when you think of a collab or like a commercial with a cologne company, you wouldn't think like really funny or comedy. But I did that. I put my own twist on it and I made kind of like a funny skit with the collab, and it got almost like 1 million likes and it got millions of views. And it got way more than if I just made like a basic like cologne, like commercial type deal. You know what I mean? I made it funny. I showed personality and it did way better than, you know, I thought.
Yeah, I love that. So Gallery Media Group was the one that did that with you guys. And I agree with you. It's actually one that we go to the well and use as an example. A bunch of you guys that were in that did an incredible job of doing just that, telling a story and then making the product included in the story as opposed to making a straight ad. So I agree with you, that was a great one. What do you guys think will be needed in the future to keep audiences engaged as the creator ecosystem just to continues to grow at such a rapid rate? Do you think that there's gonna be anything that's needed there?
Well, I think when it comes to like social media in general, it's always changing and trends are always changing. And I feel like, as you know, on the creative end, it's so important for us to keep up with trends and, you know, what people are still engaging with, because like apps die out, you know, super quick and trends change. And even like a YouTuber, for example, or even a TikToker, you know, there could be something that's working for them at a time, but then let's say a year from now, that, you know, their style, I guess you can say, isn't what's working. And, you know, if they continue with that, they're going to slowly, like, I don't want to say, but like fall off. But that's when you kind of have to, like, you know, take a little change in what you're doing and, you know, try something new. And I think it's always so important, especially for us, like on our end and for the brand's end, to really track these trends and track what's changing so we can, you know, follow it and still stay relevant. If that makes sense?
Yeah.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so very much for joining us. I know this went too quick. I have so many more questions for you, but you were awesome and hope to get to meet in person soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody. Next, we welcome Gabby Fenton. Thank you, Ryan. Next, we welcome Gabby Fenton. She just joined us as the head of Vayner LATAM. And we like to call her La Reina, which is the queen, because she's amazing, amazing.
Thank you.
Today, Gabby is going to be chatting with the wonderful Kim Farrell from TikTok. She's the director of marketing in Latin America. And just a couple words on Kim. Kim has over 10 years of experience in consumer marketing, having worked most of her career for Google in both the United States and Sao Paulo, Brazil. And she's led a lot of exciting campaigns for events like the World Cup and the Olympics. And interestingly, her life motto is actually a quote from one of the guests on our show today, and actually her favorite TikTok creator, Tinks. You're not too old and it's not too late. Welcome, Gabby and Kim.
Thank you for having me. And yes, I was so excited to see Tinks here. I am like a huge fangirl. I'm a Tinks stan forever for life. So that was an amazing coincidence. I feel like I've met her in some way now. So I'm very excited about
it. Thank you. The green room, the backstage.
Exactly.
And of course she can say that because she's 20 something, right? It's never too late and you're never too old. Of course, if you're 20, Tinks, come on.
We're in our 30s.
Hello, Kim. Welcome. And thank you so much for doing this. Because if you didn't say yes, I would have never said yes to being on the marketing for the now. Andreas.
That I would only do it with you.
Same here. So thank you so very much, Kim. And listen, you have the coolest job in the planet. I really feel like I do.
I think we're at this moment of, you know, we're here to talk about creators and community. And I think there's really no better place than at TikTok and the moment that we're living kind of, you know, as a brand and as a society in terms of, you know, content creation. So it's amazing.
And you're my client. So that makes me the second coolest person in the world, right?
Yes, I'm your first client in LATAM. And I'm
you're
so
my first client in LATAM. How cool can I be that I have like my first client in Latin America opening the operation is TikTok. So I'm the coolest person in the world. Listen, Kim, let's start this conversation. I have a question for you. From the front lines at TikTok, that it's like, if we're talking about creators and communities, there's no better place to talk about that. So what changes have you seen during the past year, like in terms of what truly defines engaging content, like for today's consumer? Mm-hmm. What changes have you seen?
I think what we're really seeing is it really is all about the authentic content, the unrehearsed, the unfiltered, the real. I think, you know, Tinks mentioned the age of perfect creators. And I think what we've really seen is, you know, creators today that are really, you know, blowing up and having success are real people. You know, people want to see that authenticity. They want to kind of see the spontaneity. We see so many, you know, some of the most engaging content is filmed, you know, when someone is parked in their car, not driving, but, you know, parked in their car and they have, you know, this spontaneous moment and they film, you know, and they film a TikTok or they're wearing a sweatshirt, you know, lying on their couch or, you know, they're completely, you know, no makeup and really real. And so I think that that's what we're really seeing is engaging real authentic content. And that's where we're getting such intense communities as well, because you're connecting over, you know, you're connecting over real things, real life.
You think that's a trend, like going back to the human beings behind of like the marketing, because I've been in this business for almost 30 years and we didn't used to do that. Like we did advertising and everything was so staged. When I see my work from like 10 years ago, not that much, it's like so staged and so fake and so not real.
I know. And I think, I mean, I think it's funny that, I think the twins were just talking about how they would love for, you know, creators to have more respect. And I think we as marketers need to recognize they're the best marketers out there. And they're actually really making our processes and our lives easier because they know how to engage with their audience. They make content in a lot of ways faster or more efficiently or more cost effectively than when we were doing these, you know, major productions and spending months developing something. You know, they can really, you know, you know, on a moment's notice, create some of the most best content that really creates that genuine connection for your brand. So, yeah, I think, you know, I think maybe a few years ago, it was maybe slightly more looked down upon to be an influencer or creator, you know, or say you were doing a public post or an ad. And I think, you know, today we're really embracing and really respecting that. They really are the best marketers and the best, you know, the best way to get your message out there, you know, for a lot of us.
They are the best marketers, which leads me to another question I have for you. What advice would you tell that, like would you give the creators in terms of that, like being proud of getting paid to do that?
Yeah, I think I think Tinks, who is here, is a great example. She is so honest with her audience about, you know, how she works with brands and, you know, what she's paid for. And I think that, you know, part of being real creators and being more authentic creators is that their communities are engaging with them as real people and as full people, you know, not necessarily just around one type of content, you know, so you can maybe be across many verticals and it becomes more about who you are as a person and who you stand for. And if you think about it, that makes you more like maybe a friend to these people. And when your friend does something, you root for your friend. You encourage your friend. You're like, yes, girl, like go get them.
Go get them.
Exactly. So I think what we're seeing is that people are much more accepting of knowing that there's, you know, a business involved and that this is a profession, and people are making, you know, there is money being exchanged for it. But if it's done in a really genuine way, and I think a lot of the creators have talked about, you know, engaging with the brand in a way that they have creative freedom, and, you know, they take a lot of responsibility for their audiences. And so there's a lot of responsibility on the creator, I think, as well. And so when you kind of bring all of that together, I think that that's really the advice I would say is just, you know, embrace the authenticity of your audience and who you are as the person, and don't shy away from that. You know, fly your creator flag, you know, be that, embrace it. You know, I think that's what I really love to see.
What I love about what I'm seeing is that brands and people are embracing that. They're like receiving it like happily, because what we did previously in the past years is people used our job to go and make a sandwich or go to pee. That's what you did when the ads came, right? You make a sandwich or you pee. But now it's so authentic and so real that it's part of your daily conversation. So you don't need to go and pee in that time.
And right? I think we're seeing how our tactics as brands and as marketers are changing, because instead of necessarily thinking about, you know, the exact micro moments on the journey and necessarily always focusing on those ad targeting, you know, we start talking about communities and engaging in the community and the sub community. You know, people joke about sub talks and, you know, really, really niche communities. And you can find that if you engage with them, it doesn't really matter necessarily the format or the time or the place. It really is about the content and about the, you know, the creators you're working with and the way that it, you know, kind of the way that it reaches them. So I think it's really changing kind of the way that we approach how we reach our audiences. And I think it's funny that we talk about audiences, but really our audiences are communities today.
Of course. And of course you're gonna serve me what I want to be served. So that makes a difference as well, right? So I have a very difficult question for you, because it's difficult for me. So I hear a lot of people saying, oh, when the older generation comes into a platform, like myself, okay? So whenever the older generation comes into a platform, they say like, oh, you can kiss that platform goodbye, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say to those people? Because older generations are coming into your platform.
Yes.
Quickly.
I totally disagree. And I think especially like with, you know, especially with TikTok, you know, it really is such a personalized experience that you see the content that you engage with, right? So I think it's much more about the true connections that you find with the content. It's what you're going to see. And so there really is room for everyone. Your For You is going to be what you want to see. And it's about the communities that you want to engage with and the creators that you want to engage with. Sure, definitely we'll mix things in there, but you know, it'll figure you out, you know, in a way that will kind of, you know, really allow you to have the experience that you want within the app. And I think also, I mean, I personally follow many creators across many different age groups. And I think that's really the beauty of it, because it's more of a like state of mind and a way of self-expression than it is about, you know, exactly how old. And I think the last thing is, you know, it really is a platform that starts with content. And so it's not really based on, you know, maybe in other platforms where it was all about your social network, you know, people that you know. I think we really lead with the content. And so that can come from anyone and from anywhere. So yeah, I'm excited for everyone to come on board and you know, find their place.
I'm super excited. I have one last question for you, Kim. So in Latin America, the brands that are not like in TikTok now. Mm. What will you tell them? Because there's a lot of brands that are not in TikTok, and I like spend most of my day trying to engage them. What will you tell them?
I mean, you're missing out, right?
Yeah, like, they are.
I mean, I think that's the easiest thing is honestly, you're just missing out. I think we are seeing culture form on our platform every day. We are seeing, you know, some of the most engaged communities that you didn't really know exist or you couldn't have found in other places. And I think we're really democratizing, you know, the way that content is made and the way that people collaborate with each other. And why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? You know, it really is, you know, I think we all know today that marketing is not a one-way conversation. And so why wouldn't you want to be in a place where you can, your audience, your community, your fans can be your voice. You can talk directly with them. You can stitch, you can duet, they can take your audio, they can use your filter. And so I just think it's such a playground for creativity and for real connection for brands that, I'd say you should come join the party.
And it's fun. I mean, it's the most fun you can have, right? Thank you so much for being here, Kim. Thank you so much.
I love that. Come join the party. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're so excited to have a bonus guest today. It's none other than Emily Zugue. She's a TikTok creator extraordinaire. Oh my goodness, this is just quite the moment. In fact, my daughter just called me on the phone and said, I can't believe you're having her on the show. So one thing, Emily, I have to confess, I almost had a heart attack when I was watching the Ellen show and you were on it sharing all of these logos that you had redesigned. I come from Interbrand, which is one of the preeminent branding, you know, design shops in the world. And to see how you had changed up these logos, it was just beyond, it blew my mind. And I'm wondering, maybe what we could do is have you tell a little bit about your story, where you began, and then maybe you can share a couple of them, just so that anyone that hasn't had a chance to take a peek, I know you've had over 100 million views, but there may be a guest or two on our show that isn't familiar with your work. So we'd love to hear a little bit about the origin story, and then maybe we can dive into some of the work. Oh, you know what? I think Emily, I think your headphones might be turning you into a robot, is my guess. We're hearing some reverb. So maybe just try pulling those out and we'll see if we can work on the tech for a second. I think it's still happening. All right. We're going to try to see if we can't fix that tech. And we're going to take a peek at some of the logos that she's created. As we heard from Frito-Lay earlier, she had a chance to redesign the Doritos logo and take a look at this. So I think the interesting thing will be to hear not only how she came up with some of these designs, but also what was the reaction from some of the different brands themselves and the companies. Did they embrace it? Did they push back? You know, what did we hear from listening to culture and all those kind of things? So I'm hoping we can hear back from Emily in just a second. Oh, it's still going. One other fun fact about Emily is she comes from Grand Rapids, Michigan, which happens to be where I was born. So that was another thing that that made me really excited to bring her on as a guest. And perhaps if we don't get her, here, let's try it. Third time's a charm, maybe.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yay. Okay. You know what? I moved to a different room. Sorry, this is so casual. Let me close my window.
I love it. That's the way we are on this show. It's all real time. We're just having fun here. We get to see, we get a tour of your house.
Yeah, of course.
As well, so fantastic. So tell us a little bit more about why, how did you come up with this idea in the first place? You know, share some of those stories and then maybe we can take a peek at some of the examples.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I kind of have to go back to the beginning of my content. I dove into satire content, satirical videos, I don't know what you want to call it, in April, just from experimenting and kind of like goofing around and trying to, quite frankly, like mess with people in the nicest way possible. But what I found was like these videos had like really great engagement that I would post where I would almost play this like dumb blonde character and people had a lot to say about it. So I thought, hey, this, you know, any press is good press at this point in my career because I'm a very small creator. So and I'm okay with it. I like it. I think it's funny. So I started to create these reaction videos to the comments I would be seeing and people would call me out left and right and they would think I was serious. This created a fun, like little bond with my audience though, because I think they like to be a part of the joke. And I think it was kind of like silly to see people who like really just, it kind of went right over their heads. Like some of them were just so ridiculous. Like I have a video of myself peeling a banana with a potato peeler and people think it's real. So, you know, that kind of like developed into what it was. And I just felt really comfortable with my audience. We always just had tons of fun with like new videos I'd post and they would always say, oh, I can't wait to see the comment reading videos. So I put out a logo video thinking I would create another comment reading video just to kind of see what people would say about it.
Did you take any acting lessons? Cause you're this very kind, sweet person. And yet the image that you project in a lot of your work is, you know, is a whole different character, right?
It is. Yes. thank you so much. That's so sweet. I try to, so I actually did go to school for animation. I've always been like super fascinated with just the concept of entertaining people. So TikTok kind of gave me a place where like I never would have thought I'd be known for like a comedy or anything like that. But it really gave me a platform to sort of like experiment and like bring that side out of me and feel comfortable with my audience to try something new. So yeah, no like acting experience. I just try to be that person in like critiques that I would experience who thought that they were like the best at everything and everybody like would look at like each other and know like this person needs to calm down.
Using all that fancy language and, yes, and all that, yeah, kind of salesmanship, right?
Yes. So this is my beautiful work. I hope you enjoy it. This is for Doritos.
We heard a little bit about it earlier in the show and they were, yeah, it sounded like Frito-Lay. Talk about the reaction because it sounded like they kind of dug it even though you would think, you know, they might push back.
Yeah, they commented on the first logo video and were like, we need a logo. So I was like, okay, Doritos, boom. Everybody knows Doritos. Everybody loves Doritos. So I try to choose brands that like generally everybody can identify and recognize. So they were hilarious. They put it as their profile picture. They were so fun to comment back with.
That's great.
Oh, yes. The Jonas Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
I originally had Kevin Jonas like DM me and Joe Jonas comment on one of the logo videos, which was insane. And they were like, the Jonas Brothers, we need a new logo. So I was like, okay, I got you. And this is like definitely one of my favorite ones.
That's so good. So good.
McDonald's. That's a special place in my heart.
And what was your reaction from like McDonald's lovers? Did you get any pushback or was it, or people just enjoying it? Cause it's, you know, it's fun and it's funny.
I think people like actually thought it was funny because, well, on Facebook I'd seen, they changed their profile picture to it. And then on LinkedIn, someone had posted something that it was the most liked McDonald's profile picture ever, which was hilarious. So I think people just like to see, you know, these big brands playing into it and just kind of having fun and, you know, it's not that serious, you know?
Yeah. Like the Ellen DeGeneres, I heard the big gift basket that she awarded you at the end.
Yes.
With the new logo. Loved it. Loved it.
Oh my gosh. That was fantastic. Oh, we have the Niffle now with the president of the football in America, Peyton Manning.
This was also a fun one. The NFL was so fun to work with too. They'd like made a video critiquing my profile picture and remaking me, photoshopping me an entirely new profile picture. So just the back and forth with these companies has been like so fun and so unexpected, but like, you know, it's just been great.
Did you ever think it was going to take off to this extent when you started off?
I did not. To be completely honest, I thought that maybe a small group of designers would see my video and kind of crucify me, for lack of a better term, because that's like what I did, you know, just kind of like put content out and be like a little troll and have fun. But I did not expect this to reach brands to like make a few headlines, which was really cool. I definitely did not foresee that. So that was, yeah, very, very cool surprise for me. Oh yes.
And oh, and look at this. Oh my gosh. Oh, you know what? We have to bring Georgia and Summer. You have to come on screen for just a second. Emily's just redesigned our marketing for the Now logo. What do you think? We were actually talking about maybe we needed something that was like has a little bit more fire to it. All right. Well, got some thumbs up. I don't know. What do you think, guys?
It's perfect. Okay. The arrow, everything.
Now the emphasis, the star. It's all there. It's got everything.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, thank you for taking the time to do that, Emily. We know how busy you are with all these. There's a lot more logos out there that I'm sure that you're redesigning. So the fact that you took time for ours means a lot. One question I wanted to hear a little bit more. Why did you decide to kind of embrace TikTok as your platform?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So all throughout college, like I said, I was just obsessed with like, I want to make animations. I want to draw things. I want to make videos. Like I just want to entertain people. And I tried YouTube in college. I literally uploaded once a week for an entire year. And at the end of that year, I think I had 350 subscribers. So after all that work, it was just, you know, to me, it was like, oh, 350. But to come over to TikTok and see the overnight success that people were having was mind blowing to me. So, you know, I had to ask myself, like, why can't that be me? Why can't I make this work on this app? You know, why not start fresh? So,
such opportunities right now. Gary's always saying that you got to, you know, let's embrace it now because it could change. Absolutely. But the opportunity today is enormous.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just such a great marketing tool. I think I've just grown as a person too, being on the app and learning a lot. And I don't know, I just love it. I'm having such a great time.
That's amazing. And what other aspirations do you have? I'm sure this isn't the only thing you're doing. Tell us a little bit more about kind of your everyday and, you know, what you're dreaming about for the future.
Yeah. I hope to create content, keep going down this road with comedy. I'm really enjoying it. I am actually a pet portrait artist. I do that full time, and well, TikTok's now kind of becoming my other full time job. but yeah, so you know, I love doing my pet portraits. It's a great way for me to connect with my audience and just have some more personal relationships there. But yeah, I don't know. I just hope to develop this further and kind of see some longevity in it versus, you know, being a trend. And I don't know. I want to transition to other platforms, kind of connect with my audience a little bit more. And they know the deadpan delivery version of myself. But I hope that, you know, there are people out there who also want to know me, Emily, the person behind the, you know, the bad logos.
Well, let's do whatever we can do to support Emily, whether it's the pet portraits or being a part of her community. Thank you so much for joining us today, Emily. It's been such a joy. And we love our new logo. So.
Aww. Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. Sorry about the audio issues.
Today. Oh, no, it makes it all fun. That's yet another persona, right, for Emily. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining the show today. We're excited to have you guys join us in November, on November 11th, for our next show. And until then, I hope you guys are off and creating. We'll see you soon.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness. I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away, which were our favorites this week?
Thanks so much, Gary. Today's amazing 5-star review reads, "The content mentioned in this podcast is simply phenomenal. It has helped me become even more motivated to start my business and not be afraid to fail. Thank you, Gary V, for the amazing content." No, thank you for that amazing review. And to anybody else listening out there, if you leave us a review, you might just get shouted out in the next episode.